Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Welcome to Stu Does America. Follow the show on YouTube and do all the things. We appreciate it. We have Zohran Mamdani and a hot new endorsement for him. We're going to tell you who's getting excited for socialism in New York City. A little bit more of it. There's plenty of it there already. I also want to go over a crazy exclusive from the Washington Free Beacon regarding the Charlie Kirk assassination. But before that, I want to start by doing the turning point. Is that where we are? Is this a turning point in our society for good or for bad? I'm a little nervous about it. That's something that we have to look at and try to map out as we go. Obviously, we had the assassination last week of Charlie Kirk. Today, J.D. Vance hosted the Charlie Kirk Show in a tribute to his close friend and ally. In fact, I know they're doing, you know, kind of a rotating cast of characters this week. And I know the only two names that I know, one, J.D. Vance, of course, the Vice President of the United States, two, our own Glenn Beck. He'll be doing the show on Wednesday from TPUSA in Arizona. So that's going to be, I think, a powerful show and a powerful week of shows for Charlie Kirk. And I think it's been great to see the remembrance of him and trying to pull out what part of Charlie Kirk maybe inspired you the most. Obviously, he was a very influential guy. And he has, you know, kind of a diverging set of things that he did, right? He went on colleges. He debated. He was a big social media star. He was also, arguably the reason Donald Trump's president of the United States. I mean, you could argue it. It's not a crazy argument to make. He basically ran the turnout operation along with, the two that were always talked about were Charlie Kirk and Elon Musk, who running the turnout operation for President Trump. It's a little more complicated than that, of course, but Charlie Kirk was a massive part of that. And he was one of the big winners of the 2024 election. His organization had proved to be not just a inspirational thing for, you know, converting some college students here and there, maybe activating some young voters. It turned into a massive, massively successful operation that had turned elections, that had improved the country, certainly by my view, when it comes to what happened. We didn't have another 4 years of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, and that's a heck of an improvement. Of course, not everyone reacting all that well, you'll be surprised to hear. And this is sort of the turning point I want to focus on a little bit. Which way do we go? What we've got a fork in the road here. Which path are we going to choose here? We have, of course, what the left has been doing for a long time and what they've been escalating and escalating and escalating for a very long period. This idea that they're constantly going after anyone on the right and calling them fascists and Nazis and all those things. Let me give you a quick taste of where we've been over the past few years.
Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point.
Do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
And shut down the city!
We're at a war right now.
We are at war.
So you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
And that's why the gloves are off.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
And yes, there are many threats to democracy. We see it with these extreme candidates.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
But you can only push people so far. And then they start to take matters into their own hands.
What the American public want is for us to bring actual weapons to this bar fight. This is an actual fight.
You know, this is literally call to arms.
The MAGA movement is a threat.
Michelle Wood says that, you know, when they go low, we go high.
With all due respect, if they go low, we don't go high.
When they go low, we kick them.
We take them to the mud and choke them out.
And make sure that they stay down. And you know what? Kick them when they're down, because they deserve it.
Get up in the face of some congresspeople.
We are going to be
We are going to be on your ass.
We have to fight this in the streets.
We're going to fight it in the streets.
It's time to step out of your comfort zone and step out into the streets.
To our Republican colleagues, if you do not see the light, we will bring the fire. Resist!
You and your little friend off of Twitter. Y'all about to find out.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
He's not going to have a good time. He may not finish this term.
Yes, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying. There will be news sometime. Just so you know, there will be news.
I mean, that is an unbelievable montage. An unbelievable montage. That can you believe that's happening in the United States of America? That one of the two major parties is doing that? Constantly. What do you think those sorts of ingredients get you? They build a recipe, and we're quite clear as to where that turns out. And what was fascinating about the past few years, there was a huge buildup to this, and the rhetoric was really out of control. And then we saw multiple assassination attempts against the president of the United States, current president at that time, a candidate. And you thought to yourself, I mean, I said it on the air, like, it'd be nice if someone just came out and just said, hey, let's stop this stuff. We can have a debate about these issues without going to these areas that seemingly tell every one of our voters they need to do something. They're going to bring fire with fire. They're going to fight back. They're going to kick people while they're down. They're going to do whatever they have to do to turn back this evil fascism that's running over you. I mean, you know, one of the most common philosophical debates, you go into a philosophy class, one of the first things that you'll get from a, you know, dime store philosophy major is someone saying, hey, if you could, would you go back in time and kill Hitler? Right? That it's like the most basic question. And of course, your first reaction is, well, of course, we're going to end that. But then there's you're killing a person who's innocent before they've actually committed crimes. Like, that's that debate, right? But the whole point of the debate, an underlying qualifier of both sides of it is we all know Hitler turned out to be a guy that you'd like to kill. We all wish that Hitler was killed before he did all the terrible things that he did. The question is, would you do it if it was well before those events began? When you say that one of the candidates is Hitler over and over and over and over and over again, of course, legally, the person who pulls the trigger is still the one responsible. We all understand that. But what are you doing? Why wouldn't you want to back away from that unless you want more of this to happen? And now we see more of it has happened. One of the clips in there I want to give you is a clip that happened well after the attempts on the life of Donald Trump. In fact, it happened one day before Charlie Kirk was murdered. Here is, I mean, an embarrassment of a senator for so many reasons, Chris Murphy.
We are not going to convince Donald Trump to stand down in his attempt to destroy our democracy de-escalatory politics. Like, that's just not happening. So our only opportunity, our only chance to save our democracy is to fight fire with fire right now. So, yeah, do I bemoan the fact that, you know, we're now blowing up norms? Yes, but literally for 2 seconds, because if you spend any more than that being sorry for the fact that the old world doesn't exist, then your democracy is gone. Like, we're in a war right now this country. And so you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary.
Whatever is necessary to save the country.
I wonder if is there enough people that believe that same thing? And until you get more to believe that, that may be why the Democrats aren't rowing in the same direction yet.
You can't get people to believe it if you don't act like it.
I love that. Like, his question isn't, hey, isn't that a little bit strong? Isn't that rhetoric kind of harmful? Like, what do you mean you do whatever is necessary to save the democracy? Like, what are you suggesting here? No pushback on that. It's like, well, how come Democrats aren't coming along with you as much as I'd like? How do we get them to come along with your position a little bit more? And then the next day, Charlie Kirk is assassinated in front of 3,000 people. Now, I'm not saying Chris Murphy suggest that. I'm not saying he caused this incident. It seems to be in motion long before, and we're going to get into some of that here in just a little bit. But all that being said, you have a situation where this stuff just doesn't stop. There's no reason to talk like that. There's no reason to do it. Everybody understands that we have differences as far as politics go. And it goes harder and harder, you know, every minute. They seem to just double down, triple down, quadruple down, to the point now they can't even hear themselves anymore. Let me give you, now, look, this is a little unfair. I admit it in advance. I'm going to give you a video from Jasmine Crockett. Now, we all know it's the dumbest possible video that I could possibly produce about the other side. It's a little unfair. It's like debating a toddler. I get it. But I just want to give you this because I want to highlight how she can't even hear herself speak in this. She's acting as if everything we know about Hitler isn't true. Watch.
But I was like, so we're not going to talk about white supremacy? Like, we're not going to talk about the fact that the vast majority of these shootings, whether they are seen as political or not, mm-hmm. if we look at the numbers,
it's a lie.
White supremacy ideology.
This is a lie.
But we don't want to do anything about that. There's no legislation that they want to bring. Every time you say white supremacy, they want to yell, oh, you're race baiting. No, I am going on facts.
No, you're not.
Like these crimes, when we look at these mass shootings, most of them are linked to neo-Nazism or, you know, Proud Boys or whatever. It's always some white supremacy kind of thing that's going on. It's not black folk that are going out there. It's not immigrants that are going out there. But what cities are we going into?
Multiple
black
cases,
cities, because we are supposedly the ones that commit all the crime.
Well, I mean, statistically, of course, these cities are the ones with all the crime. So that's why we're going to those cities. And not because there's black people that live there. It's because that's where the crime is. Regardless of all that, she went on to talk about how, you know, it's not when I say he's like Hitler and he's like Hitler, oh, Hitler wannabe. That doesn't mean people should go out and commit violence. There's no direct line. What are you talking about? Of course, if we have a Hitler that's president of the United States, if Hitler actually became president of the United States and started doing the things that Hitler was doing, if that was a piece of reality, everyone would cheer you on if you assassinated the president of the United States. But what's actually happening is Donald Trump wants lower taxes and less regulation on businesses and the environment, and you're calling him Hitler for these things. That's the problem. Not just her, of course. Ilhan Omar had to get on the action. She's very upset that people are respecting Charlie Kirk after his assassination in front of 3,000 people.
You know, Charlie was someone who once said, you know, guns save lives after a school shooting. Charlie was someone who was willing to debate and downplay the death of George Floyd in the hands of Minneapolis police.
I think he called him a scumbag.
Right, have no regard, downplay slavery and what black people have gone through in this country by saying Juneteenth should never exist.
Juneteenth, huge controversial
and I think,
area.
You know, there are a lot of people who are out there talking about him just wanting to have a civil debate.
Complete rewriting of history.
Yeah, there is nothing more effed up, you know, like than to completely pretend that, you know, his words and actions have not been recorded and in existence for the last decade or so.
That's, of course, your congresswoman / star of Maroon 5 video, Ilhan Omar. Just to be clear here, there is something more effed up. There is something more effed up than saying Charlie Kirk was a civil debater. I'd start with him getting shot. That's one of the things I would say is more effed up. And I know that's hard for you to understand because you probably wanted it to happen. But I can guarantee you that it is more effed up to shoot somebody for a family to be without their father than you having an incorrect opinion as to what Charlie Kirk said. Now, of course, she manipulated all of his words there. The point of, and I think, you know, we'll get into this in a little bit. The point is not necessarily everything that Charlie Kirk said. He was a bit controversial at times, as you kind of tend to be when you're in the public eye debating politics with college students all over the country. The point was how he went about handling his work. He went there and actually talked to people. You will find many clips of him getting into disagreements. Those all have been, you know, promoted more highly. But if you actually look closely, you'll see much more of him talking about his faith, talking about trying to de-escalate these situations. You know, he's not calling everybody on the other side Hitler. He wasn't going and saying, hey, you're Hitler every single time you talk to a college student. He actually talked to them in calming ways to de-escalate these events. He didn't deserve what he got. And I know everybody on the left wants to say that he did, but he didn't. It's hard to understand. Now, of course, we also have, you know, even crazier reactions. I could give you the social media stuff all day long. Of course, we, you know, everybody celebrating it and all those terrible things. You have a controversial punk duo, Bob Villain, who's ripped for celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. You might remember this guy as he stands in front of a Palestinian flag. You might remember him from his, people said he was wishing death to the IDF. He was chanting that over and over again. I will clarify just for quickly to in a bit of a defense, and they would never do this for us, a bit of defense. He was not actually wishing death to the IDF in that clip. He was wishing death to the IDF. He said it over and over again, death to the IDF, death to the IDF. It's either his really dumb accent or he was wishing hearing loss. I'm not sure which one it was. It was one of the two. But he also went on to say this. Bob Villain has already created at least had one show canceled and discussed as vile remarks made at a packed show at a club in Amsterdam just days after Mary Dad Kirk was shot dead in a debate. I want to dedicate this next song to one absolute piece of S of a human being, he said. He said the pronouns were, because that's funny, see, because if you can't, if you chat S, you will get banged. Rest in peace, Charlie Kirk, you piece of S. So there you go. That's the bad side. There's a lot of bad reactions to all of this, but I want to make sure we understand that not everybody's doing this. This is not, our whole society isn't lost after this moment. There are a lot of people who reacted in positive ways. You know, first of all, let me talk about maybe your side, because if you're conservative, as I am, you might have looked at this and you may have felt rage. You may have felt anger. You may have felt that you wanted to do just something, anything, to not only show that we're not going to just take this stuff lying down, but also to push back and maybe express that anger a little bit. But it seems like everybody on the right had their better angels take over and do something totally different. Let me just show you a side by side. This went viral over the weekend. This is a response to Charlie Kirk and the response to George Floyd. You remember what happened with George Floyd. Looting, violence, cities burning to the ground. And then you have prayer vigils for Charlie Kirk. And that was universally the reaction. Now, I will say, and you can come back, I will say there was a... There were plenty of events for George Floyd that did not turn into violence and burning down cities. That goes without saying. We did say it, though, at the time. The difference is there's no events where we were burning down cities for Charlie Kirk. No events where looting was the result of Charlie Kirk being assassinated. And that's a good thing. Utah governor calls on Americans to choose a different path amid political violence. Spencer Cox, speaking directly to young Americans, said, "You're inheriting a country where politics feels like rage. It feels like rage is the only option. But through those words, we have a reminder that we can choose a different path. Your generation has an opportunity to build a culture that is very different than what we are suffering through right now." That's true. In fact, that's what Charlie Kirk was trying to build. And it's important to remember that. You have, this is local news in Arizona showing how a pilot paid tribute to Charlie Kirk. Watch.
Pilot paid his own tribute to Kirk this morning around 6:30 a.m. A flight tracking software shows the pilot flew in this pattern near Phoenix, creating a cross with a C and a K. They landed about an hour after taking off.
People did what they could to try to remember him. It wasn't always on the right as well. There were some good reactions from the left. Let's highlight a couple of those. Bill Maher urging the left to stop comparing Trump to Hitler. Maher told his audience, "This crap has to stop, too. Trump went out to dinner. I wouldn't have done that in Washington, D.C. And people started to gather around them, and they were chanting, "You are a Hitler of our time. First of all, a-holes, he's not Hitler.
okay? An insult to everybody in the Holocaust to begin with. Second of all, calling somebody Hitler makes it a lot easier to justify things like assassination. Let's put a crap load of that away, shall we? Yeah. This should be obvious, but it was not done by everybody. It was done by some, however. I'll give some credit to Ezra Klein in his piece that right after the murder, Charlie Kirk was practicing politics the right way. He said you can dislike much of what Kirk believed, and the following statement is still true. Kirk was practicing politics in exactly the right way. He was showing up to campuses and talking with anyone who would talk to him. He was one of the era's most effective practitioners of persuasion. When the left thought its hold on the hearts and minds of college students was nearly absolute, Kirk showed up again and again to break it, slowly, and then all at once, he did. That's good perspective. I mean, again, I would agree with very little that Ezra Klein has to say about politics. But, like, it's good to know that there are still people, even on the other side, who disagree with us all the time, that actually can stand up and say, hey, you know, murder, kind of bad. You know, it's okay that we have conversations and disagree with each other. It doesn't mean everything that, you know, everything we see on the left, we're not going to get upset about. We're not going to get fired up about. We should get fired up. There's a lot on the left that's really, really bad. But we can handle ourselves much better than that. And that's, I guess, the path that we're at. One other thing I wanted to highlight quickly is Nate Silver, who wrote this. This is true all the time. It's something I practice all as much as I can, and this is true all the time. You don't have to say something about every terrible thing. There is grace in giving people space and wisdom in not taking the bait from those who seek to provoke you. You don't have to say something about every damn terrible thing that happened. By you, I'm referring to the community of people who comment on political events rather than reporters who cover hard news. If you work for the New York Times or Salt Lake Tribune, you're in a different position. As a part of that community, I believe it would be helpful to establish a permission structure to clarify that not commenting on an event does not imply a lack of concern. It's true. You know, I mean, I retweeted a few things, of smart things and important things I thought that people needed to hear at that at time as we were going through that. But most of this commentary on this incident I save for the show where I can talk to you in a long period of time or on radio where I have 10, 20 minutes to speak at once. These, you know, social media apps aren't built for this stuff. There's too much. There's too much to discuss. There's too many important things. And, you know, you don't always have to be on record for everything. You know, I always feel in those moments where someone has died or you're dealing with a national tragedy, and anything you put on Twitter just feels so trite. It feels so, I don't know. It feels to minimize what's actually happened. And I try to stay out of it. That's my explanation. I know everyone mourns differently. Everyone deals with this differently. If you're the person who likes to tweet a million times after something like this, I get it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's important that a lot of people get themselves in trouble with the things they say in these moments. And we all have thoughts. We all have reactions to horrible things like this. A lot of times they're angry. A lot of times they're not the part of you that necessarily you want to have memorialized till the end of time for your kids, for your grandkids. And a lot of times I try to think about it in that perspective, even as an idiotic commentator, which I know I've said a million dumb things on this show. I do think that advice is something you can kind of staple on the fridge. Or, I don't know why you'd staple it to the fridge, but maybe put a magnet or tape it to the fridge and remind yourself of it every once in a while. You're actually not required to comment on everything. No one should ever have to have that standard held to them. And it's okay if you kind of sit back and like give yourself a couple days to contemplate and process and react to something. And maybe at some point you kind of come out with a statement, but it's a little bit more well considered. So there you go. Erica Kirk, had a speech that she did, and I don't know if you saw it. Man, it was tough. I gotta say, really, really tough. I felt like it's really tough to have her in that position that close to this. She's just incredibly brave to go through that. And I don't know, I wouldn't be able to do it. I would have been a complete and utter wreck in that moment if I had to do something like that. But she gave the speech. And what I wanted to highlight from this is how people reacted to it. Erica Kirk's first speech since husband's assassination sparks massive TPUSA chapter surge nationwide. 18,000 requests for new chapters. 18,000 requests for new chapters, not members, chapters. 18,000 new chapters. Now, look, you never choose something like this. You never want this to happen, of course, to your family. But one of the things that I think Charlie would have wanted, if God forbid something like this ever happened to him, was to make sure that his message and his movement continued. That is a really important part of this. And it seems like that's the way that people are reacting. And I think We can sit here and we can highlight the big differences between the left and the right's reactions to this stuff, and that's important. We can highlight that the left is burning cities down and that we're having prayer vigils, and that's important. I think that's massively important. And I think it says something about us. You could sit here and you could say, well, does our movement get advanced by sitting back and reacting the right way? I think it does. But I also don't think that's the most important thing. The name Turning Point, gives us a chance here to look at where we're going and how we're doing these things. There's a fork in the road. I think both sides are at it. The left has a fork in the road that they can kind of decide which way they want to go. They had the same fork in the summer of 2024, and they chose incorrectly. Do you continue to call everybody Hitler? Do you continue to up this rhetoric all the time? Do you continue to embrace political violence? Do you continue to laugh about it? Do you continue to cheer it on? Or do you go the other way? The Ezra Klein way or the Bill Maher way, both liberals, handle that totally differently. You can go that direction. And I think the other side of this is what the right is looking at right now. We all kind of might know where the left is going to go on this, at least most of them. But there is a fork on the right fork on the road for the right as well. There are a lot of people, and we've seen it from a couple of congressmen, we've seen it from some commentators, are taking this extreme road after all of this is going on, and that's frankly understandable. This is incredibly frustrating. Because there's two ways to react to this. You have Charlie Kirk doing things, even as Ezra Klein said, the right way, practicing politics the right way. And he gets shot for it. Well, how do you react to that? You could either say, well, Charlie Kirk was doing it the right way. Him being shot disproves that that's an effective way to do it. And going the opposite way and being more aggressive and, going scorched earth is the right way to go. You can look at it that way, or you can say, hey, Charlie Kirk died for this cause, and the best way to honor him is to continue his work, right? To continue to do things the way he was trying to do it, the quote-unquote right way. I do think over time, this is how conservatives win. We've done it before. I think we could do it again. I think, if you sit here, you can't sit here and get rolled over, of course. You can't sit here and constantly, you can't do nothing. Right? It's not that you're doing nothing. You're not going to just go the next day out to an open air event at a college and keep yelling until the next person gets shot. That's not the right way to do it. But I do think that what Charlie Kirk had in his heart and what he had in his movement was the right direction to go. And whether it works or not is not always the most important thing. That's really hard to deal with. But you look there's a book you might have heard of. It's called The Bible. Has many, many examples of people doing things the right way and losing on this earth. That's a possibility we all have to contemplate. Maybe we don't win. Maybe we don't win every election. Maybe we don't. That doesn't mean we upend what is right and what is wrong and go down a road that is much darker. We have to be careful with this. Now, my guess is nobody in this audience is thinking that way, but I don't know, you look at social media, you look around, and you will see plenty of it. Just sitting, this doesn't mean that teachers who cheer on assassinations hold on to their jobs. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. And we're going to do something on cancel culture this week. Is this cancel culture? It's not, a little preview of the monologue. But that doesn't mean we just roll over, right? It doesn't mean that people who are psychopaths are teaching our children going forward. But the question is how best to honor Charlie Kirk's legacy. Do we look at this and say, hey, his death proves this doesn't work. We need to abandon it and go a different direction. Or do we embrace his legacy and continue to go down the road that he suggested was the best road? And I believe he was right on that. It's going to be a debate that's going to go on the right for some time to come. It's heavy eating. This is big stuff. This is heavy stuff that we have to think about here. And I think we have to find a way to become more aggressive and more able and willing to stand up for what we believe in, but at the same time, not to break the covenants that we've made in an eternal sense, but also in a sense of hey, look, Charlie stood for something really clear, and something he really believed in, and he wanted to do this the right way. I don't know that he would want that upended. We have to look at this and make sure that we can still take steps to make these things better, to make sure that we can protect the people certainly making these arguments and do this in a very smart way. But also, don't abandon what Charlie was working on. It was really important, not only to him, but I think to the country. Back in a second. I've noticed lately that we could use maybe a little something to calm us down, just a tad, okay? Maybe something that would soothe the world a little bit. There's lots of things you can do for that, but let me give you a very baseline thing, tea. Now, tea can be very simple. You know, you got leaves, you got hot water, and you're done. But, you know, now you go and you go try to get tea and you're buying stuff with chemicals and plastics and God only knows what else is in there. Kindred Harvest says, no thanks, we're not going down that road. We want your calming cup of tea to be a little bit more, let's say, clean. Let's say all natural. Let's say blended and packed right here in the United States. Every batch is even third-party lab tested for safety. Now, whether you want to have the morning pick-me-up or you want to have the caffeine-free evening blend, calm down. All of us can calm down. Or maybe just want a big pitcher of delicious iced tea for your kids that they can drink without, you know, growing gills. Kindred Harvest has something for you. It's honest American-made tea. And if you're ready to upgrade from some chemical cocktail you might be getting somewhere else to actual comfort, it's time to try Kindred Harvest. It's available now. It is the tea that is clean and calm and completely on your side. It's kindredharvest.co. Kindredharvest.co. Not .com, but .co. You can use the code STEW for 20% off. Kindredharvest.co. The promo code is STEW. It's Kindred Harvest, cultivating goodness daily.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I want to keep going with this because we have two breaking news stories involved in the investigation of the Charlie Kirk assassination. This one comes from the Washington Post. It was me. Suspect in Charlie Kirk shooting appears to confess in Discord chat. The buildup to this is interesting. People are talking about the Discord, this incident on Discord. Some of his friends are talking. Someone says, Charlie Kirk got shot, one friend wrote Wednesday afternoon. I just saw the video, holy crap. Another user wrote about an hour and a half later, adding of Kirk, bro didn't deserve to go out like that, sad. Then the next day, Tyler Robinson, this is the guy who was the assassin. I don't like using his name, but I did, unfortunately, there. But he said, hey, guys, I have bad news for you all. It was me at UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all of this. I'm surrendering through a sheriff friend in a few moments. Thanks for all the good times and laughs. You've been so amazing. Thank you for everything. It's like he just retired from a civil service job. So there you go. That's where that stands. We also have an exclusive from the Washington Free Beacon. This is Aaron Sabarium. It says, exclusive, FBI is reporting, investigating social media accounts that appear to indicate foreknowledge of the Kirk assassination. This is interesting because I'm probably like you. In the middle of this, I'm going through Twitter. I'm trying to avoid the video as much as possible. Unfortunately, it wasn't fully avoidable for me, even on this one. But a lot of people are posting social media screenshots of different accounts that seem to like have knowledge of this before it happened. Was this the actual murderer? Is this someone who is involved in the murderer? But you also can't tell, right? We're in an AI era, and you wouldn't even need to have AI to produce a fake screenshot of a tweet, right? So you don't know what's real and what isn't. Well, the FBI thinks a lot of these are real and are trying to figure out what the hell's going on here. How do these people, so many people, tweet about this specific thing in the lead up to the actual shooting? Let me give you some of the examples of this. It's social media, so I'm just going to walk you through the timeline of it. But this one starts on September 3rd, 2025. So a week before the shooting, he says, it would be funny if someone like Charlie Kirk got shot on September 10th, LMAO. That's on September 3rd. Then on September 13th, he tweeted, did I? Now, was he saying, kind of jokingly saying, did I cause this? Did I manifest this? Or is he saying, did I do this? We don't know. He then retweets himself. That was on the 13th. He retweets himself and says, Donald Trump, December 14th, kind of indicating maybe he was trying to manifest this to happen to Donald Trump as well. Psychotic behavior. We don't know what it means criminally quite yet. Then you have this person who on August 6th tweeted this. September 10th will be a very interesting day. After the shooting, said, I plead the fifth. Now, before you go on from this, you note the person who retweeted this at the top. That name is Churbum75M. In parentheses, Saw Tyler June 30th. He's changed, I think, his name to Saw Tyler June 30th. There's the reason I had to say his name, because it's not going to make any sense if I tell you that he saw him on June 30th. Anyway, long story short, we have that. Then that same person who talked about seeing Tyler on June 30th retweeted Charlie Kirk's death announcement and said, "We effing did it." Did they have pre-knowledge of this? Another interesting part about this particular person. This person that was retweeting these tweets also followed the boyfriend of the murderer, the person who was a person transitioning from male to female that he lived with and had a romantic relationship with, apparently in advance of the shooting, followed that guy. Did he know something? Another very suspicious interaction online was this one from a guy who says, "You guys, I have something big coming soon. Just be sure to check the news. You'll know when you see it." This is seemingly before the shooting, 5 days before the shooting. Then he retweeted that on the day of the shooting and said, "Well, that's that." Again, there's a lot fascinating with this. Let me give you a couple more before I start getting into these points. Another person put a video on TikTok. Charles James Kirk, Mr. College Dropout, does not know what's coming tomorrow. Be ready. This isn't a threat. It's a promise. Next day, he was shot. Then you have this person, Omar, who says, "Charlie Kirk is coming to my college tomorrow. I really hope someone evaporates him, literally. Let's just say something big will happen tomorrow." Now, this person has been rumored to be the actual killer. We don't know for sure yet, but that has been the rumors of that. What's fascinating about all of that, and we don't know, there's also a group called something like Armed Queers SLC is the name of the group that was online. It got pulled offline right after the shooting. We don't know if there was some involvement there. What's fascinating about this, in a way, is how central social media is to this. And I was talking to a bunch of friends, you know, and we're on some group chat, you know, this is probably the same stuff you're talking, bizarrely. It's no longer football, but it's now assassination attempts. But we're talking about like how they've always been psychopaths, right? There's always been crazy people. What social media seems to bring to the forefront more than any of this is the ability to find people who agree with you. Find people who indulge you. Find people who want to cheer you on when you want to go for a murder. It's got to be, I would assume, going back to the murderers of the, JFK and RFK and all these assassinations, MLK, all the ones that we remember from back in the day, it probably wasn't easy to find people who were cheering you on to commit an assassination. Now it is. And what's fascinating about all of this is if your only goal is to kill Charlie Kirk, you're probably try to do it in a way that hides your identity as much as possible. You certainly don't want to be bragging about it in advance. But what these people seem to get is more excitement out of the social media love and adoration they get, the social media attention, than they do the actual killing. It's not even about the killing as much as it is getting credit for it, being able to joke about it, being able to show that you don't care, being able to promote in advance that you had this knowledge. Those moments seem to be as important to these people as the actual assassinations. And it just makes more and more copycats and churns people out and churns more of this nonsense into our society. So that's where we are with the investigation. And we're going to keep you updated on this all weekend as it goes on. I'm glad they're looking into this, though. They're not just blowing this stuff off, saying, it's just social media bragging. We should know we don't all need to know. If these are just idiots that are saying stupid things, whatever, but I want an investigation to make sure that we do know that that's all it is, if that's all it is. The FBI should know their names. They should know what they were doing. They should know where they were. They should know what they're doing in the future. They should make sure they watch these people, because this is psychosis. If you're one of these people doing this, you're nuts, and you are a risk to our society, and you can't just be left out there to commit the next shooting. So hopefully they are really looking into this stuff and we get some results of that investigation very, very soon. Well, if you thought Zohran Mamdani couldn't get across the finish line, he now has the endorsement he's been waiting for the entire time. Yes, Kathy Hochul? Kathy Hochul has endorsed Mamdani. I would assume this is going to make his approval rating go down. I don't understand. She's like the least popular person in the entire state. But congratulations to Zohran Mamdani. By the way, it's not, New York City, Mamdani might win this election. Looks like he will. However, not very popular outside of the city. Nassau County had a poll out. 61% disapproved of Hochul's job as governor. 67% said they had a very unfavorable view of Mamdani. Wow, that's a high number. I mean, New York is, yes, there are conservative-ish areas there, but 67% very unfavorable is really, really significant. And this is a fascinating one from the Washington Post. I couldn't get my arms around this. This is from the editorial board of the Washington Post. They say Zohran Mamdani backs off some, but not all, of his wildest positions. The fact that they're calling them wild at all is pretty interesting to me. Mamdani apologized on Thursday, the September 11th attack anniversary, for calling the New York Police Department racist, anti-queer, and a major threat to public safety. He's apologized, backed off of that one. He said he's just been simply caught up in the George Floyd hysteria, which, of course, is, I mean, weren't we all there calling the cops the evil? He refuses to say whether he still supports decriminalizing prostitution. What do you mean you refuse to say? It's a policy position. That's not how our system works. I mean, you could try to massage it. You could lie about it. But you have to say whether you support it or not, don't you? Apparently not. He remains vehemently anti-Israel. He did say maybe we should say globalize the infantada slightly less. Let's turn that back by 8%. What do you say? So he's got that. But it's also notable where he hasn't shifted. Mamdani has not backed off his signature calls for free universal childcare and buses, city-owned grocery stores, freezing rent on a million regulated apartments, increasing the minimum wage to $30 an hour, and crippling new taxes. These aren't new ideas, and versions of them have failed elsewhere, yet they test better with voters in liberal Gotham than Mamdani's soft-on-crime tendencies. So kind of a brutal op-ed from the Washington Post, of all places. Of course, Mamdani probably is still going to win. So we are in a world that seems completely backwards, but also seems exactly like the path we've been walking down for a long time. Moving is one of those things that sounds like it'll probably be fairly simple until you're actually in the middle of it. You're juggling paperwork. You are dealing with all the differences in timing and the contractors and inspectors and mortgage lenders and utility transfers and all that stuff. Even school, when school's a huge deal with this stuff. And every single part of it depends on whether or not you've got a good real estate agent in your corner. That's where realestateagentsitrust.com comes in. It's a free service that connects you with the top-rated agents in your area, people who are experienced, who are full-time professionals, that have a strong track record and a commitment to service. These aren't hobbyists. They're not part-time dabblers. These are serious, vetted agents who know the market, understand your priorities, and take the time to get it right. Whether you're buying or selling or upsizing or downsizing, relocating or just testing the waters, this is a decision that deserves more than guesswork. Don't go with whoever your second cousin used. Go with someone you can actually trust, someone who's already been trusted by thousands of families across the country. It's free, it's fast, and it just might save your sanity. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Check it out now. The name kind of says it all. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
You know, one of the most famous now tweets from Charlie Kirk was actually about social media. And I don't have it in front of me to quote it, but basically the tone of it was, when things get crazy in the world, maybe step back, maybe go away, put the phone down, spend some time with your family, spend some time with your faith, get to something foundational. because you can draw yourself back to what's important by avoiding what isn't important. And I can assure you that's what you're going to find on social media. That's sort of the point of Ali's event. It's called Share the Arrows, Blaze TV's Ali Beth Sucky. She's doing it again. My wife went to this last time it was in town. I think she wants to go again. It's October 11th right here in Dallas, Texas. It's called Share the Arrows. It is a way to, you know, to kind of get off of the social media stuff. Get away from it. Connect with what's real in your life. If you're a woman and you want to go to this, I think you'll really enjoy it. I know my wife did. She went with a bunch of her friends. They really had a great time. It's called sharetheArrows.com. VIP options are still available as well. SharetheArrows.com. SharetheArrows.com.